once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Funny. I don't feel destroyed. A little dusty, though, but, you know, other than that, I'm fine.
You know, good. And I do believe we have a special guest.
Who is Sabrina back?
Please sign in and tell the listeners who you are.
I'm Tim from Granite City Comics up in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Hey! It's our good buddy Tim! And we should say, we've mentioned a lot on our podcast that, you know, we always go to your shop for Free Comic Book Day. And we've had you on the podcast before. I believe you had to call Corey out for some discrepancy in an earlier podcast. So, people, this is actually going to be interesting because we invited Tim on because last episode we talked a lot about why people shouldn't be giving Diamond so much hate for what's going on because they kind of saved the comic industry in the 90s, a time where both Tim and I had a comic store. But we weren't really sure about what was going on with comic shops other than what they publicly say. So we thought we'd invite Tim on, talk a little bit about his shop. But before we do that, I have a quick question. Tim, what is your secret comic book origin? I.e., what is the first comic book you read that got you infected in this crazy hobby?
First one that I collected and kept was Amazing Spider-Man, I think it was like 168, 169, the clone, where he threw the clone into the smokestack.
Oh, where J. Jonah Jameson had the pictures.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the first one I remember collecting and keeping. There's one that I picked up that's in my mind, but I'm sure it's a conglomerate of different ones where Johnny Storm is half lit and they're fighting the Dragon Man and Man Thinker. But I cannot find that same image any place that I've looked. So,
so are these the actual comics? Or you said it was like a collected edition?
No, it was I'm thinking that picture in my mind where Johnny Storm is half lit and fighting the Dragon Man and the Puppet Master and whatnot is a conglomeration of different issues I've read when I was a kid. Because I cannot find that same exact image any place.
So is this an issue like you bought at a comic store, or is this just something like you stumbled across?
One that I probably picked up at an old Five and Dime Ben Franklin in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, where I used to live when I was a very little kid.
Do you still have it?
No, that's why I can't find and know exactly what it is.
Cool.
I will buy it again.
Now, Granite City was founded by... I just knew him as John. I didn't know his last name. I know we used to come up to the comic shows, Pat and I, back when we were doing the P&J comics.
Yes.
And were you doing tables then?
I was working for John at the time doing conventions. Started out, the store, Granite City Comics, opened up in 86. And was a store, and I was in there the first couple weeks with my fiance at the time, a lovely wife now, and John didn't have a whole lot of comics in there, and I kind of made the comment, not a whole lot of books here, and he made this very smart, intelligent thing of saying, I'm just starting out, tell me what you want, and I will get it in for you, and I would appreciate your business, and that's how I started shopping at Granite City Comics, and then in the would have been about 87, 88, I was working as a mechanic and got radiator blew up on my hand arm. So I was out of work. We went down to Sioux Falls to do a comic and card show. And on the way back, he goes, you're pretty good at this. You want to work the store? You want to work on Saturdays at the store? Sure. I got nothing going on for Saturdays. Haven't stopped working a Saturday since.
You still have nothing going on Saturday.
Pretty much.
Now, what led you... Now, where did Dave... Dave was your partner.
It was my partner. So, I was working for the store for a long time. And then having issues with my real job. and went on talking to John that I told him I'd like to retire at an early age of 55 and own a comic book store and work at a comic store. He's like, that's kind of fun. Cool. Came up to me in early 91, 92 and said he's looking to get out. Would I like to buy his store? And at the time he goes, I'm going to need collateral, which your collateral will be your comic collection. Told him, well, I got to think about that. His exact words were, that's the first smart decision you've made. Because he knew how much I cared about my comics, that this was a big deal to me to sacrifice possibly my comic collection to buy the store. And at the time of doing shows and whatnot, and the way the comics were selling back then, is I would have to quit my normal job, work the store, and somehow be at shows at all at the same time to make the same amount of money I was making. So Dave, who was working at the store at the time, because his first day was the death of Superman, trial by fire there, got together with him and said, hey, do you want to go in? John's willing to sell me the store contract for deed. And we got together and said, yep. And that's how we began the store.
Was that where, now I went to Granite City. Originally they were in a shopping mall.
Yep.
When did you, were you guys there or were you in the first downtown location?
We were in the first downtown location. The store started out at Midtown Mall. It was, or Byerly's Mall is what it was called. There's the Byerly's is still there. The middle mall that was where we were at. And then Shopko was on the end. The store started there upstairs, and then moved to the back corner. And then in, would have been 89, the old location downtown opened up and we moved there. And that's when me and Dave bought the store.
Now, did you own the building or were you leasing?
Leasing the building, had first opportunity to buy, and the guy who owned it passed away and his son did not know we had first opportunity and sold it out from underneath us.
Oh, is that why you moved? So,
and then the new owners came in and decided that the amount of rent we were paying was not high enough. They wanted to almost double the rent and we had to move out of the upstairs. Basically, they didn't want us there.
Yeah, it's kind of a subtle way of doing it.
Yeah. So we moved to our current location right across from Mexican Village and have been there for 10 years.
Now, I talked about the fire that hit earlier in some detail on the podcast. Just for people who didn't catch the podcast, the corner bar caught on fire, of which what do they call it? You're not kind of like a old town strip mall?
Yeah, we're down in the old. It's not really a strip mall. It's a bunch of connected old time buildings that are kind of built right up.
Yeah, they're basically separated by a firewall.
Yeah.
And later found out the son of a bitch basically lit fire. He arsoned his own store because of some marriage trouble. How did that affect you? Because obviously first thing came to my mind was, oh, dear God, how are you guys doing?
We were closed down for 3-4 days. I was down there. Gentleman, buddy from the cities, Brian Robinson, called me up or texted me in the morning. Are you downtown? It's like, no. He's like, is the store okay? What are you talking about? Press bar is on fire. So I look, oh, just looks like a small fire. No big deal. Text Jay, our manager, and told him, hey, you might want to come to the store early. The press is on fire. Figured it might take him a little time to get into the store with stuff blocked off and whatnot. Not realizing they had pulled out the fire team and decided to let the thing burn to the ground. So he texted me back once he got to the store and said, smells like a smokehouse in here. Get a lawyer. It smells like a smokehouse in here.
Yikes.
So I had, and then Dave texted me and asked me what the hell's going on. and told him what's going on. He showed up at the store and they grabbed all our expensive books and brought them in, put them in my garage that day so they wouldn't get any smoke damage and whatnot. And then that Monday night, we were able to get a cleaning crew in there with air scrubbers to start scrubbing the air, and they worked all day Tuesday, Wednesday, and part of Thursday morning to get the place cleaned of all this, any excess smoke damage. It wasn't any soot, it was just smoke damage and smell.
Did it damage any of your inventory?
No. The only thing that's somewhat damaged was there's a little bit of smoke. There was some smoke smell into the cardboard boxes because that kind of absorbs it.
Now, since we're going to go talk about Diamond later, how did Diamond Comics, did they help you during this?
Their response was, oh, that's too bad. Because there's not much they could do.
I mean, I didn't know if they, or I suppose you'd have to go to them. I know.
Yeah.
I've talked in the past, especially after 9/11, I called them up and I said, I can't pay this week's books. Everything stopped. And they allowed me to cut everything up, my invoices that were outstanding, and pay and, you know, whatever interest and whatever. I didn't know if that would be something you'd have to deal with. I mean, did they hold your books? Did they still ship them and then you just sit on them in your garage?
No, the book shipped. I had them held at UPS and I picked them up Thursday morning and we counted them and got them out and ready for business. So, yeah, we lost basically 3 days of business. The Monday, which, as everybody knows, is nothing for comic stores. Tuesday is the day you process them, so that got pushed off to Thursday morning. And Wednesday was kind of people coming in like, sorry, we're closed. Books will be here tomorrow. It's like, are you sure? It's like, yes, they're in my, my vehicle. I got them.
Do you have any? You guys have really outlasted tons of people that have tried to set up shop in Granite City in St. Cloud. Is there any other comic shops in town at the moment?
The closest one.
You don't have to name them, I mean, but I didn't know if you guys are still it or what's going on.
We are it. The closest one is either Minneapolis or Bemidji.
So it helps because you got some loyal customers, obviously, yeah. And you know you're the only guys in town that have survived. And believe me, I've known through the years people. Oh, we're up in Granite City, put those boys out of business, and I'm like. Yeah, I don't think so.
Not going to happen easily.
Not going to. And that was during the heady day of Magic the Gathering or Pogs or whatever, you know. Where
there are six other gaming stores in town selling Magic.
So
we don't even bother with Magic anymore. We've got booster packs, and that's about it. Except for this new set that's coming out that Dave went a little gung-ho on because it's got Godzilla cards in it.
Oh, really?
Ooh, yep.
Yeah. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
So you're starting out 2020. You had a hurdle. You jumped over it.
Yep.
Now
we got a big hurdle.
In Minnesota, we got our stay-at-home order effective. I believe it was what Friday the April 3rd?
Friday the 27th. Nope, March 27th.
Okay. But. It didn't go into effect till the 3rd.
No, it went in effect Friday night. Friday night at midnight. So Saturday we were closed. It was the first official day that I was. Didn't get the weekend business. We were done.
So did you get books from April 1st?
We got our books for would have been the March 25th. Which was the last week that Diamond shipped books.
Okay.
There was no
so
April.
I've got my week off because I know I spent that week, like, I visited the Source, I visited Cedar Cliff Collectibles, I visit, I think it was Lucky 7 in South St. Paul. So shops ranging from, you know, the 33,000 square foot Source to just a smaller shop down in South St. Paul. Now, this is where I'll just kick it to you because how did that affect, obviously you're closed, but did people come in? Did everybody know, hey, you're going to be closed?
Lot did come in. I mean, we get most of the regulars came in anyways. A few did. We were not expecting we knew Diamond wasn't going to ship books because that was announced Monday that they weren't. This was the last week of shipping of books. So we knew the first week of April, we weren't going to have any books, and that there was the whole social distancing, stay at home if you can, kind of deal. So I threw a sale together that we were going to run because we got no books on back issues and trades, give people a chance to bulk up on stuff and sit at home and read, basically. Well, that kind of killed my sale with all of a sudden we can't even be open for business. But we were able to get a bunch of people in on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the sale to buy a bunch of trades. And it helped with us that we had bought our new POS system, the Comic Suite POS system, in February, got that delivered, not quite set up yet, but we got our shipment of trades from Diamond that same week just before we had to close down. So I got an influx of $6,000 worth of trades that now I'm sitting on because I can't really sell because I'm not open. And the 6,000 trades is when you buy a Diamond, the Comic Suite system from them and sign up for it, they give you a partially offsetting trade order to help subsidize a subsidy order to help with the POS system. And that's what those trades are. So.
Interesting. You know, I wasn't aware of that. That's actually kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah. Give you some product. I mean, Image part of that is great because it's their whole back issue, back stock. DC is pretty decent. It's about 90% of their back stock. Dynamite was maybe 15, 30 lines of stuff. Not too bad. Boom was pretty good. The newest Marvel item was from 2010.
I was waiting for that.
And IDW, you had to, because each publisher gives you a certain amount that you can spend with them. IDW's amount was like $700 in 10 different trades, basically. If you need a True Blood trade, I've got 6 copies.
Oh, good.
That's good to know.
True
good
Blood, that's here first.
Get a hold of Tim at Granite City. He'll drop his address and add all that later, but you can Google it. You True Blood fans, Tim's got your back.
Yep. Star Trek Nero.
Now, okay. I've got some questions about what was leading up to this. As we were moving toward the shutdown, they had already announced that Free Comic Book Day was going to be Free Comic Book Month, and yep. Then they just kind of stopped.
Yes.
So what did they tell you as things were happening?
What did Diamond tell us?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Anything I found out about this came off of Newsarama, CBR, and customers walking in the door. That's how I heard about Diamond not shipping us stuff. It was other outlets telling me, hey, I hear Diamond's not sending any comics out this next week. So Diamond's biggest issues, yes, they're the only game in town. Their customer service is pretty bad as far as just communication with other stuff and whatnot.
I'm sorry.
So they didn't even tell you that Free Comic Book Day was dead?
No. That came from Newsarama and other ones. I actually have, I think, 10 or 12 Free Comic Day books in my store because they shipped them with that last week shipment, because over the years they've always shipped them on one big weekend or one big week and a big shipment, and a lot of stores can't handle that kind of influx of product in one day. So this year they decided they were going to spread it out over the 4 weeks before Free Comic Book Day.
I did actually see a bunch sitting in the back at the source that last week. I visited, and I thought, oh, look, they're going to be here, which would have been the next question at the end, because when Free Comic Book Day hits, we always buy our stuff from Tim.
Yep.
But you won't even have everything yet. Okay. I was actually going to say, hey, I'll make a trip up there to get the boxes. Because, you know, no new stuff. Corey and I are like, hey, what should we talk about? You know,
I can get you some.
Yeah. Might be worth that. But so
I don't know, Joe. Can I stay 6 feet away from you in your car?
If you sit in the back seat and promise not to kick, yeah.
Otherwise,
you know, I'll turn around and put my leg. Yeah.
And Diamond not shipping the. It kind of. As bad as this year has been with the fire closing us down and downtown smelling like smoke and COVID-19 pandemic, it actually kind of hit nice that Diamond is not selling any new books. So I've got no new books in the store and Minnesota clearing a shelter at home where I can't sell anything. I've got no new books to sell anyways, so I don't have a big bill I'm looking at to start paying off.
So for Minnesota, it actually was more beneficial.
Yeah.
But not design, just by accident.
Just by sheer accident. It would have been nice to have another week of sales, but hey, got 3 days.
Well, one thing I want to correct, Minnesota is not a shelter at home. It's a stay at home. Shelter at home means everything is shut down and the police will patrol. And if you're out, that's what California had. It's what parts of New York has. We just have a stay at home, which means you're not ordered to stay home. You're requested to stay home. And what is considered an essential business changes when it's a shelter at home. Comics are not an essential business, oddly enough.
I'm sure the three of us will disagree.
Hoping that Barnes & Noble would have got that argument through that books were essential.
Well, it's weird what's considered essential, because car repairs considered essential, liquor stores are essential, Half Price Book and Magazine said that they were essential and were doing the kind of thing that restaurants are doing, where they would deliver, or you could drive up and open your trunk and they'd put them in your trunk. And I know that Hot Comics Jordan would actually deliver inside Jordan.
Yep.
And I don't know if they're still doing that or not. But one thing about what's going on with Diamond is that there are all sorts of weird pieces of information. Joe sent me one. I think it's what Alterna Comics said. We were told to send in stuff for the August previews, which means we won't have new comics till previews. And then other small publishers said, no, that's not right. We've already sent in stuff for the June previews. They're basically saying Diamond's going to skip a month of previews.
Yep.
So there's going to be an August previews, but there won't be a July previews. So basically the books that were to come out in April will come out in May. May books will come out in June. June books will come out in July.
That's the plan.
And have they given you a date as to when they will start up again?
No. I talked to them yesterday because I need a... I've ordered a bunch of supplies in because of the whole fire and the smoke damage that the cleaning crew said I should replace my long boxes. Fine, sounds good to me. Insurance backed them up and said, sure, yep, do it. I ordered in 250 boxes, which I waited a week till Diamond was shut down, because they're doing still shipping out of the one warehouse. It's all old stuff, nothing new.
Yeah.
So I ordered supplies. I got the supplies. Now I'm waiting for an invoice so I can send that invoice to the insurance company. And when I called them yesterday, they aren't doing any more invoicing until new weekly shipments.
So have you gotten the boxes?
I've got the boxes. They're sitting in front of the store.
You could go up and make those changes, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do my changing and whatnot. But it would be nice to have that invoice so I can send that invoice to the insurance company for them to pay me for it.
Yeah.
But they're not doing any more shipments or any invoicing until they're back on doing weekly shipments, which sounds like a good thing. But if you're one of the stores that is not at a stay at home and you're not, and you're actually up and running and you're reordering trades, you're not getting invoiced for those trades. When that first bill hits, everything you've ordered in this whole month is going to be on that invoice.
Yeah.
That's going to be a monster to, for somebody that's not thinking about, oh, yeah, they'll invoice me. Oh, they'll invoice me. Oh, uh-oh, this is a monster bill. I don't have the money to pay this.
Well, one would hope that they would think ahead.
Yeah, you would think, but...
But, no, yeah.
You're no comic, guys. Come on, how many...
Has the state of Minnesota given you any reprieve, like, and on reporting sales tax, or is that business as usual?
Business as usual, as far as I know.
Now, do you have to place orders for April previews as normal? Or what's up with...
No.
Okay. So I looked online with Discount Comic Book Service. They've got, finally, all their April stuff ordered, but no word, other than they said, we're not going to bill you for it, because they always do the pre-billing stuff. Yep. They didn't say, are they going to place it? They haven't billed me for March yet. And I'm thinking this consumer version like you, I can't.
Okay.
Looking forward to getting March and April billed at me at the same time when you start shipping again.
The thing is, the order forms are always due end of the month. So the March order form is due at the end of March for retailers, for actual stores. Consumers, you need 10 days ahead of time so as to process. Diamond has pushed back the March order form. The new due date is April 24th.
For March.
For March books. So basically the previous catalog that you didn't get last week that you were complaining about on last week's podcast.
Bitterly.
It doesn't matter because those orders aren't available. I don't even know when I can turn those orders in because it's not on their system yet. So I'm assuming, and that's kind of just my thought, is that the April catalog will be the May catalog. That there won't be a May one because they're not shipping anything new. So this April one is going to take care of the May, and they're pushing it back a month that way. Because they haven't said when the current month's catalog is actually due for me to finish.
Or even if you've got customers that can come in and say, hey, I want this, other than
I've got emails
emailing
on that.
Or calling or whatever, yep. You know, or yep. Mailing you the order pack if they use that.
Yep. No, most of them use a spreadsheet because they carry over what they've got from the previous month. But yeah, I've got those orders coming in, and a lot of guys who prepay for their books ahead of time to get their discounts, I've told them that I'm not taking any money because I don't know what's going to actually come out, what's going to be canceled and whatnot, that they will get their discount when the books actually come in.
Now, speaking of those customers, what have you done since having to close on March 28th to keep your business going?
I'm also laid off from my normal job because I'm not an essential worker. So I'm at the store Monday through Saturday from 10 o'clock till 2, my own hours that I'm doing to keep a semblance of a normal schedule. And during that time, I'm doing mail orders, curbside pickup. I've had a couple guys that didn't want to do the curbside, but they wanted their books, so they called me. And when they pulled up in their car, I put it outside the door. They got out of their car and got it. So it wasn't a handoff exchange. It was the door was locked and that kind of thing. So,
did you ever think about delivery?
I've asked, and they'd just rather come and get them. They want to see the store.
Yeah. I've just heard a few places, Corey mentioned a few, but I know Oakleaf down in Iowa said, hey, we'll deliver it right to your door, which is something I would offer, especially to some of the bigger customers that might live a little farther out that I don't want to, lose the business.
Yeah, there's one that I've offered to deliver his books to him. He comes in about once a year and picks up his books. And I've offered to drive down and deliver them to Richfield, Minnesota for him. So
he said, "No more. I mean, if you're going to be in, I got nothing to do."
Yeah. He said, "No, he will wait till this is over and he will come up and get them because he wants to see the store and see if there's anything else he wants," which is why he comes up every once in a while.
Now, I know I've said this on the podcast and I've said this to different people. With my shops, with Crazy Comics, when I had the little 5,000 square foot store, I probably would have shut down because yep. I was breaking even at the best. And as Corey is listening to the story, I closed that wonderful month of Civil War when Marvel moved all their Civil War books forward in October. And I was left in September with not enough to pay my rent. And my rent was only $500. Also, I didn't have... somebody said, "Didn't you get continuation of income insurance?" And I said, "No, Pat and I never got that with Hot Comics, and I never got it with the little store because at the time I was working full-time TSA. Did you? Is that something that you got for you and Dave? Do you have that continuation of insurance or income insurance?"
No, not for this. We did have a loss of business for the 3 days because of the fire. But because of the COVID-19, there is not a loss of business insurance for that because I don't know how the insurance company would bill somebody for that. So
yeah, a lot of people are finding that out too of my small business friends that they're discovering this is kind of like an act of God's thing said with air quotes that they won't cover. Yep. I also know with Hot Comics, the beginning, like you talked about the Death of Superman days.
Yep.
That, I think Pat and I might have been able to waddle through the ending in the 98 and beyond when eBay was hot. I probably could have as well because you could have taken a book worth $100, put it on eBay's, and get $500 for it because eBay was insane back then. I don't know. I'd have to go look at the records, but you know that was the heady day of Magic, Pogs, getting cases of Spawn toys. But I don't know, even at a like my store, the size it was, if that would have been survivable for me. Especially as Corey and I have talked about, so much of our business is week to week driven on new books. Now, do you feel confident you're going to make it to August for this mythical reopen?
As long as the federal government helps pay my two payroll employees. If I don't have a payroll to pay my two employees, if I take that bill out of my equation, me and Dave have got this planned out that we could be shut down. The store could be shut down and pay rent and whatnot for a good 8 months without, and then come back and continue to be a store. So we've kind of built up our money and saved and scrimped. That's why I don't have a lot of super expensive books in the store from time to time, is I don't go out and buy high dollar books to sit on them. We kind of bank our money in case something comes up. And this is something that we've kind of set aside for our money that, me and Dave will have to possibly pay in some of our own money to keep the store going and alive from our personal funds that we've got, but it's kind of stuff we've earmarked for store occasions. So we're going to come back regardless if there's, hopefully there's new comics, but
yeah. We're
going to kind of play it by ear.
I feel encouraged by you saying that too, because that's something that just listening to the chatter out on the internet, including, long-term guys like Brian Hibbs and that, just, I'm not positive about this, and I'm not positive in a more corporate sense. And Corey, again, we talked about this in the past, but DC and Marvel Publishing are such a small part of the AT&T Disney empire that I could very well see, and knocking on wood here that I don't want it to, that they could just turn around and just say, "Well, we're not going to publish comics. It's just not worth it." I mean, they still got their characters because we'll get the Underoos and the movies and stuff. But, and we always point to the thing that AOL did when they got Time Warner. They looked at WCW, even though WCW had been with Turner Broadcasting forever. And they said, well, we're not making money. Actually, they're bleeding money. And they just shut it down and sold it pennies at a dollar to WWE.
Yep. But like that, wrestling is still around.
It is. It, but if your shop needs that influx from DC and Marvel and suddenly it's not there, can you survive on everybody else?
I think somebody will pick up. They'll do something, because without any new Superman or Spider-Man or Avengers stories, you're going to lose your fan base for the movies. They have to have the comics to feed the movies. The movies feed the comics a little bit, but the comic fans are the ones that are going to these movies more than just your average normal people. Your normal person's not going to go to Avengers 3 or 4 times, where a comic guy will, because he's going to catch all those different nuances that are there. That's going to drive the movies more because of the comics, is how I feel about it.
I guess I'm more negative on it. I'm more alarmist. I've always thought for years it was a minor miracle that DC being owned by Time Warner was never truly screwed up by them. Whereas with Marvel, as soon as Ron Perlman got a hold of it in the 80s, yeah, that's how we saw things go bad. And again, that leads to last week's podcast where we talked about how Mark Diamond saved the comic book industry because they were the only man standing, and they worked their ass off to get Hero World balanced out. They took over Cap more flawlessly. You know, I remember getting Hero World invoices. What the hell is this? Oh, well, we found some more invoices, even though it's been like 2 years since you got your last Heroes World invoice. I'm not arguing I didn't know it. I'm just saying, when is enough enough? That said, Tim, for your store, what can Diamond do, and then segue into publisher, what could they do to help get things restarted or just help you stay in business until what time they start shipping comics again?
Start shipping comics.
Bottom line, damn it. Ship them damn comics.
Don't be sitting on that last couple weeks
you didn't want to ship.
Yeah, it's basically ship the comics, but don't dump everything on us at once. Pretend like this month just didn't happen, and start up the normal weekly shipments as normal and go from there. I think that's one of the reasons why Diamond decided not to pay their bills, because comic stores aren't paying them. So they don't have the income coming in, so they can't put the money out without destroying themselves. The whole cash flow that they've got to follow. And that's my reasoning why I think they stopped doing some of the shipment, is they've got the money, but they just need to have that equal cash flow all the time to satisfy everybody. I may be wrong.
I mean, Diamond doesn't come out, and I believe they're private, aren't they? They don't have to tell us squat.
No, they are definitely private.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, Diamond Comics is gone.
Shit.
That pretty much sums up the game, baby. Because even we've talked about it in the past. Corey and I go through previews, and I guess we're going to do it next week because we keep promising and then something new happens for April. But we've always been amazed because Disney and DC, they license out different things to different people. IDW does a kid line that doesn't fit into the Marvel line. The Disney characters proper, Mickey Mouse, Uncle Scrooge, they go through IDW. Didn't Titan have something coming out, Star Wars related? There's always something being licensed.
Yeah. It's generally their kid stuff that they license out, because Marvel has a horrible track record of doing young kid books.
Yeah.
They've never really done it well.
We've in the past talked about what if, what was it? Back in the 90s again, when the rumor was that Marvel was going to buy DC.
Yeah.
And we thought there was also a question about what if they license or just license the characters? What would they do? Yeah. You know, so something will be done with it. The question is if they're going to bring you along for the ride or do you see any effect on digital sales on your business or is it a non-factor?
It's a non-factor. And the biggest reason is people like the smell of the comics. Okay, you brought up last week or earlier this week about Batman 89. Well, if you buy a digital copy of Batman 89, it's $3. You've got that paper copy that you can flip on eBay for $50-$60. There's that greed part of everybody that's, I'm going to buy that because it's going to go up in price. I can make money off of this down the road. That's why I think the paper copies are always going to be around, is that potential to increase the value and make money off of them.
So for our listeners listening, what could they do to help you? This is where you plug your shop and maybe in website. Yes. I wasn't sure if you'd catch the segue or not. Corey's been trying to train me for 10 years and 400 plus broadcasts to do a decent segue, and I think I've finally got it.
Well, it's about time. I mean, Anthony Pyrus, when I do the AEW Dynamite recap on PWInsiderElite.com. See, that's kind of how you do your plug. I've trained him how to segue right into the Crazy Comics and Stories plug. Joe, however, it's like I have to be Negan with the baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire beating him around the head. Come on, Joe!
You know, I wonder if I should open my Thanos copter from San Diego a few years ago. That would be fun to play with. Wait, what were we talking about? Oh, Tim, what could our listeners do to help you?
They can stop at my, I've got a web store up and running at GraniteCityComics.com. I've got an eBay store, Spider64. Got to get a lot more stuff on there. Check our Facebook page. I've got some stuff on there. Part of this whole shutdown and nobody in the store is I've been cleaning and I've come across some old magic stuff, some modern masters and that, stuff like that, full boxes that I'm going to be putting on Facebook for people to see if they want to buy or not. And basically, don't forget about us when you can come back to stores, whether it's our store or the Source, Cedar Cliff, whoever. We're going to need some money influxed in. They're not doing curbside. They're going to need some money to help get them through. Stop and pick up some. If there's no new books, pick up some older books that they've got sitting on their shelf that have been looked interesting to read and pick them up. They can use some money.
What has our governor said? He pushed back the stay-at-home order till when? May now? May 3rd.
Yep. May 3rd. However, he's retaining the emergency powers until 2 weeks after that. And that's in so that he can use the National Guard to assist if needed.
So you may be open a lot quicker than we get new comics.
Yes. And that's where you pick up some of the newer stuff that's on the shelf that you just passed by. Because, well, I've got $20 to spend this week. These are the books I can pick up. I've got $20 next week. These are the books I can pick up next week. Well, you don't have next week's books. Pick up some of the stuff you missed that is sitting on the shelves because, as you know, we can't send them back. They're ours. Yeah.
And this is something I don't really say much, but it's something when I had my shop, I would always tell people, if you cannot come in because you lost your job, I understand.
Yep.
Let me know.
Yeah.
You know, we can make arrangements. Again, people are hopefully temporary off limit. I mean, I can hold. Like you said, you got a friend that you hold for down here. I had guys go off to the Gulf War or on the military things, and I held them for a year. But even just a quick call.
Yeah,
you know, you don't have to call Tim. You know when Tim's going to be in the shop. Call him when he's not there and leave a message. Nobody wants to go face-to-face with bad news, but just let him know. So he's not piling or saving, you know, and leave on good terms because when you come back, we want to see you again.
Yeah. And I understand that people lost jobs and can't work or, okay, you had a kid, life happens. I understand that, just tell me so I'm not sitting and pulling more stuff than needs to be done that could I could sell. And any stores like that. It doesn't matter if it's my store or whatever store. Just communicate with the guys. Tell them what's going on in life. They're not going to get mad at you. If they do, you don't need to shop at that store
anymore. Go somewhere else. Talk to Tim up in Granite City. He'll take care of you. We talked a little bit about your partner, Dave. How's he doing?
Good. He's hiding up north right now.
Smart man.
Yes. Yeah, he's up north. He's down every couple, about once or twice a week right now. And he's down, but otherwise he's up north, kind of staying away from everybody, being a hermit like normal.
Yeah, he's normally that way. I mean, I think he showed up at one of the cons, the spring con, and I didn't even recognize him. I'm like, who is that? Oh my God, it's Dave. I haven't seen him in years. He went from that to like seeing like 3-4 times a year to now hardly ever.
Yeah.
That's okay. Tim's on the ball. He knows what's going on.
There are a couple of things that I'd like to point out that people can do for their comic shop. Like Tim said, he got a whole bunch of new graphic novels and stuff. If you don't know what to get, if you're looking at the graphic novels, and let's face it, there's a lot of them. And, you know, you've got yours bagged, but even if they're not bagged, you just look at the cover and I don't know. So you could go to your comic shop owner, who probably knows about everything in his shop, and say, you know what, here are three comic series I like, or three creators I follow. Recommend a couple graphic novels.
Yep. There's also, I had one of my customers message me earlier this week. He was looking for a trade that I don't have in stock. It's called Sarah by Garth Ennis. I don't have it, didn't stock it, because Diamond doesn't stock it. It's made by a company called TKO, which actually has a program. If you buy something off of their store and you pick a store, the store gets 50% of the proceeds.
Yep.
So there's a lot of places out there that I've caught that are doing that for the local stores that, hey, yep, they don't have it. You can't get to them. You can buy it from us. Tell us who your store is. We'll send them some money. So that's another way to help out stores and get stuff, because they're too far away or you're trapped and don't want to go to get out. There's always the shipping of stuff to people.
And another thing is, Diamond is still sending out older stuff.
Yes. I can do reorders and stuff.
So let's say you haven't bought comics for 2-3 weeks. All that money you would have spent on stuff, you still got. Yep. You could get that omnibus you've been looking at.
Yeah.
And if your shop doesn't have it and it's still in print, you could call your shop and they can get it for you.
Yep. If they won't, I will.
And every so often, Marvel dumps a bunch of omnibuses and stuff. So maybe Tim's got those too. Or he's got a line on them. You never know.
Now, he's your connection. Yeah.
I wanted to ask about conventions. I know that SpringCon here in Minnesota is canceled. And yes. You do other conventions. Yes, are they keeping in touch with you about what they're up to?
I was planning on going down to Kansas City in middle of March. And that has been delayed till middle of August. The Denver Comic Con, which takes place over the 4th of July weekend, has been postponed to Thanksgiving weekend.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, but it's one of those things like, you know what? It works. Because I'm possibly thinking about going. Go visit my aunt out in Denver and hit the comic show. Two birds, one stone.
And you could drop in at Mile High.
Yeah, that's a big store.
Yeah, trying to get him to play poker with you, and you'll leave with a whole lot of comics.
And depends if you're a poker player or not. He would probably leave with my money.
he's not.
I know. He'd still probably leave with my money.
We've talked
on the
show.
I don't play with you guys poker.
There was one year he came up to the poker room, and I got more than enough money to go to his table and go, "Hey, you want some of your money back?" And the library convention there in St. Cloud, the library's probably closed.
The library is closed. I have not. Their con was scheduled for middle of June.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's postponed or canceled or what. They haven't informed me on that one yet.
And I believe we're going to hear that San Diego's canceled here by the time this podcast drops next Monday.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about how it would be a virtual convention.
And I don't know how that would work, honestly. Kind of hard to buy things. And then, I guess it works. People do it on Facebook all the time, but it just not the same for me.
No, it's not the same, but we have had, I think Emerald City did one where the publishers that were going to be there, all their exclusives, they had them available online. DC just announced that the stuff they were going to have for WonderCon, if you go to Graffiti's website, it's all available there. So I imagine a lot of those exclusives will be online rather than in shops. Yep. I mean, at the convention. Have you seen any of the Buzz conventions? The conventions no. Buzz is doing? What he does, he just turns on his webcam, answers questions, draws, and sells sketches.
Nice.
So maybe sometime you could do that on Facebook Live. Set up an auction.
No, we were thinking of doing something for May 2nd, but it's kind of hard when we got to be closed.
Yeah. Well, you know who's not closed, Joe?
I don't.
These guys, our sponsors. Believe it or not, kids, this here podcast has sponsors. And that sponsor, since day one, is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. And if you need a website, head on over to DreamHost.com, put in code CRAZY, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, and get $20 off your first year. Now, if you would like to advertise here on any of the Solitaire Rose Network podcasts, you can just email me at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Also, head on over to eBay and look for user Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, that's Joe Crazy Writer, who's always telling us about the eBay in every episode of Crazy Comics and Stories. If you would like to contact us, you can do so. You can give us a call at 952-856-0519. Leave a message and we'll play it on the show. Or you can send us an email at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. And not only are the sponsors open, but I'm essential at both my jobs, but I'm still putting out all sorts of podcasts like these. The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network is filled with all kinds of audio goodness. First, there's Crazy Comics and Stories. It's been going since 2010. It drops every Monday, and it has me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, and Joe Crazy Writer talking comics, shenanigans, and whatever we're freaking and geeking about every Monday morning. It's been going since 2010, and it's available at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. Also on that same feed is the Solitaire Rose Podcast, which is me, again, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, doing interviews, talking about comics history, pretty much talking about whatever I want to talk about. We've also got Solo Joe, where Joe Crazy Writer does a solo podcast, and he hasn't done one in a while, so kick him in the shins to get him started. We also, on that same feed, have Solitaire Rose Series and Review, where we do DVD commentary of older comic book series. That's all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. I also do a podcast with Wolfie B. Bad at badadvice.solitairerose.com, where we take listener questions and give them bad advice. There's also Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. There's also Fantastic Forecast, where myself and Adam Vermillion are going through the entire run of the Fantastic Four 4 issues at a time. That's fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. And if you think that I'm on all of these podcasts, you're wrong, because Scrabbling Across the West is at scrabbling.solitairerose.com, where musician Dave Coffell and his wife Stephanie travel across America and then sitting down to play Scrabble and talk about the day. That's at Scrabbling Across the West, scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There are always more podcasts at the Solitaire Rose Podcast Network. Be there. Aloha. And now we get to Joe's favorite part of the show. No, Woo-hoo! No, no.
Fire girl.
Not where he sits out on the lawn and yells at the kids to stay 6 feet apart.
Yeah, that's fun.
No, it's Joe. What's going on the eBays?
Lots.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
No, I've, like Tim, I'm, although I'm essential, I'm still home because they cut up the TSA teams into, well, they cut up the workforce into teams. So we each go in, a set determined time every other week. So if one team gets sick, the whole place doesn't get sick. Not that it matters. Air traffic is down so much. It's weird, but I've been digging through stuff. I've been finding all sorts of crazy stuff in my not only to put on eBay, but some other stuff. One thing I always talk about is when you find like an ash can or like an out of print giveaway, to always check online to see what it's worth. For example, I picked up this thing somewhere, and it's Samuel Hedy's End Times Tempos Finales, which according to my sister is kind of a mix of Italian and Spanish. That means end times. This is actually a graphic novel from this gentleman, Samuel Hedy's. I've got an ash can that I met him in person. I paid $1 and I got the ash can on it. Oddly enough, he did a couple books. One of them called End Times, and I'm trying to fire up the old Cray 4000 here to see if I can find what the other graphic novel he did. They're hard to find. His comic book he had originally was only there's one copy for $50 that he signed. And as I went and tried to research more about him, I found an old article that said that his website had said that about 2008 he had had something go bad, where it could have been an accident, could be an illness, nobody really knows, and that they were speculating that he may have passed away. And I posted this up on a Facebook book. How many books in Facebook page? And somebody replied, no, he is still alive. And then on the eBays, I discovered not only can you find some of his graphic novels, such as Waga's Big Scare and the Tempos Finales, but he's also done a ton of books called Building Blocks of Science, Gravity Hardcover, Light Hardcover. Most of these are aimed grades K through 4, and he's done the illustrations for it. And all these are dated like within the last couple of years. So he is alive and he is kicking, but he's just not in the comic industry. Oh, by the way, that ash can I mentioned, somebody had it for like $250 on Amazon.
Holy
I've got cats. Mine on the eBays for a mere $199.99. And those are the only ones anywhere. Oh, by the way, I have a best offer on mine. So if you're interested in it, head over to Crazy Comics, K-R-A-Y-Z, and you can bid on it. And like I said, as long as I'm home, I'm putting stuff on the eBays. Just had a blast going through some. I'll talk some of it when we get to freaking and geeking. But I've been putting on all sorts of things. Like I found a button from the original Iron Man, just the promo thing. I found some high-end Dynamite books. Just a lot of fun stuff. So as I continue to wade through things, you know where to go. Up on eBay's K-R-A-Y-Z. Tim, just for the heck of it, tell our listeners, what is your eBay site so they can check you out?
Spider 64, S-P-I-D-R-E 64.
Come get some.
Yes. A lot of Grim Fairy Tales stuff is up there right now, and some CGC books.
Oh.
Yeah. You've been going through stuff. I've been going through and cataloging my stuff.
I'm pretty sure that eBay sales should be going crazy right about now, because I imagine a lot of people that's what they're doing. I know Dreamhaven Books is they've been doing more eBay stuff, and they're actually doing a physical catalog. They haven't done that, what, Corey, in 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, something like that.
And so if you want one, shoot them a quick email or go to their Facebook page, and they'll, you know, that was one of the places I didn't get to before it closed. But Greg's doing it like you are, Tim. He's in the store daily, just mustering up mail order, and I can't wait to see what this catalog is going to have. So there are ways to support your friendly neighborhood comic book shop. We're all about that.
Yes.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show.
Tequila shots.
No, not where I take walnuts and try and knock the raccoons out of the garbage with them.
They're all dusty anyways.
Lousy damn raccoons. No, it's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, as I mentioned, I did go to work, and I was very freaked out, because when I parked at Terminal 2, I take the light rail over to Terminal 1, and there was nobody there. I was like, usually there's at least 20, 30 people waiting to take the ride over. And I was just like, there's nobody here. Did Thanos snap his finger and I was left behind? And then even at work, you know, there are flights going out. There are people flying. My buddy Turbo mentioned that if you got someone to visit down in Orlando, flights are like $40. You got to have a reason to go, because everything's closed. But like, if you got a friend you want to visit and you're pretty sure you're both not sick, just crazy times right now. The airport reminds me of an old shopping mall called Apache Plaza we used to have. It was hit by a tornado, never the same. A lot of businesses didn't open. I used to go there because it was a guy who had a collector store in the middle, Ron, and I don't know his last name. He ended up selling a lot of his toys either to or through the Maplewood Shinders before Shinders went belly up. But he, in the middle of the store, he had, it was like walking into a walled castle, because you could see lights and you could see stuff. And as soon as you walked in, it was like just head to floor, old toys, Hot Wheels, not so much paper product, but just amazing. And then when you walked out, it was like walking into a zombie picture. All the shops were closed. There were signs still hanging there. You could go down to the lower level bathroom if you dared. I think there was a furniture store open. Just, you know, you walk in and half the neon lights were flashing or hanging or just not working. But you could buy furniture. There was a post office there. That was it. Eventually, they did knock the place down. The airport reminded me a lot of that. As I was walking down the main mall, there's hardly anybody there. The people who are there all have the CIDA badges, which means they're workers. I saw maybe two passengers, and I'm guessing they're passengers because they had their carry-on luggage with them. Everything's closed. Certain kiosks are just, they took all the product away. When I walked down the G Concourse, I ran into nobody. Just eerie. So, and it, again, at work, we're just sitting, you know, where we're doing maybe a tenth of the bags we normally do. And from what I've heard, in the week I've been gone, it's even gotten less than that. So just brutal things. And like Corey, I'm essential, so I will be going in eventually. So just real freaky stuff. I mean, if it wasn't for, you know, the fact I see people on Facebook, I get to talk Corey every week. And, you know, when it's nice, I mean, right now the weather has been, I think the weather in Minnesota is drunk right now. We've been getting snow squalls, and then sunshine and snow squalls, all like within an hour. So, but it's supposed to be 60 to melt away the, what would you get, Corey? We got about 4 inches of snow up here in St. Paul.
Yeah, we got around that, but it's mostly gone already.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went from like a winter storm watch to a warning to cold to whatever. But hey, that's, you know, we're Minnesotans. If you don't like the weather, just wait a day. It'll change. How about you, Tim? What are you freaking on up there?
Just how empty the streets are. You can actually find parking in spots in St. Cloud because there's just nobody around.
Are they enforcing the parking meters?
The guy's driving around, but I don't think he gets out of his truck at all.
Because I was saying we could park our car there, Corey, and then we'd have a space for when we finally do get out of here and off to Tim's to get our free comic book day stuff. And I'm just thinking about that, you know. Anyways.
Yeah.
And you gotta flip it to Corey.
Corey, what are you freaking on?
Boy, comic. There are some comic publishers who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground.
Like which ones?
Well, we talked a little earlier about Alterna Comics that freaked everybody out and has pulled out of working with Diamond because they were told, you know, just send in your stuff for the August previews. And then went all over the internet saying, Diamond's letting us know that there won't be new comics till August. Until, like, Josh Blaylock from Devil's Due. And I forget the guy's name with Boom Comics. All said, no, Diamond is saying send your August solicitations for the next catalog. They're not going to do a July catalog.
Does that mean they're not doing June either? Because we got April now.
What is the due date on the catalog, though? I mean, it came out in April.
I have no idea.
I think it's the June preview.
Yeah, because they're always 2 months ahead.
Yeah.
So April, May, June, May, June, July. So July, August, September.
There won't be an issue of previews printed in May because that's the July one.
Yeah, they couldn't ship it anyways.
Well, what the plan is they're going to pick up where they left off. Yeah. And they're just going to act like that month never happened.
Can our taxes and our bills not happen either? Oh.
Well, your Diamond bill won't happen, but all your other bills will. One thing that I wanted to ask about, there's this program it was part of the COVID-19 bill, where as you could get these loans from the government, and as long as you didn't lay off any employees until sometime in September, you didn't have to pay them back. Now, have you heard about that?
Yep, the payroll protection plan. Let's put it that way.
Do anything for you?
It's what it is. You take your 1 month salary or payroll. They'll give you three times that amount and you have to pay your employees for 8 weeks of that. And you have to come back with the same amount of employees when this is done as what you left before. The problem is the banks aren't getting paid to do this, so they're not really willing and happy to do all the paperwork that they've got to do. They're doing single owners first, and some of the banks are running out of money already before they even get to the multi-owners and whatnot. So we're in limbo on that ourselves. We're supposed to have an email sometime today to tell us on the form or not. That's one of the other reasons that Dave is up north. He's got a bank up there he deals with also and is trying to see if we can sweet talk them into maybe helping us out. Whether we have to open up an account up there because most banks are only doing their own customers, which I understand.
Yeah.
So he's seeing if he can kind of sweet talk with the bank he's been doing business with up there for a couple of years, as far as opening up an account to see if they can help us out with the thing. And I even told him, if we need to put money in every month for 3 years just to put money in to keep the account going, I'm fine with that. Because, like I said, we don't spend a whole lot of money. And we kind of save, and we've got our personal stuff that I can easily transfer money over to help do that. So that's what he's working on up north. I don't know about the other loan, the small business disaster loan. That one's gone back and forth as far as a loan that $10,000 was supposed to be forgivable or not. That one's going back and forth, whether they're doing that or not.
And that leads to my second freaking, which is I work in benefits. The information we are getting from the government, it's not as bad as there was one day in March where we were sent out a notification about COVID-19 tests and how they would be covered by your medical insurance. Basically the federal government sends out a thing saying, all right, here's our ruling on how the law applies to this. Then the president tweeted something, and a half hour later we got an update. Nope, what we said earlier today was wrong. Then we got a third update saying, all right, here's what it's really going to be. And then the next morning, here you go. Here's the final. Because basically, they'd said something. The president tweeted out something. Then one of his advisors grabbed him and said, we can't do that. And then the next day, whoever's supposed to be in charge said, all right, here's what we're going to do. And you would think that would be, you know, kind of a one-time thing. No, it's been nuts. We're having businesses say, hey, use Teladoc. You can't go to the doctor unless you've got these specific symptoms. But for other medical stuff, you can use Teladoc. You can use online stuff. And, you know, here you go. And they give out a single number. Not realizing, let's see, one of the companies I work with, they have 20 different medical carriers. And a medical carrier is, oh, I'm with United Healthcare. Oh, well, I'm with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Oh, I'm with Aetna. Well, they have 20 different medical providers. So did they check if that phone number worked for all of them? Of course not. So we have people calling us saying, hey, I called this number and they say they don't take my insurance. Okay, well, you have to call your insurance company and they'll let you know what their Teladoc number is. Or there for a while it was, this test, the COVID-19 test is considered preventive. So you don't have to have met your deductible and the medical insurance pays 100%. Wait, no, it doesn't. It's considered a lab test, and you have to pay the full cost. And then after you've spent this much, then you know, on and on and on. Everything is so whacked up top, and they don't know what they're doing minute to minute. That's why there's all this chaos down below. And it's the same with Diamond. Some people are hearing stuff from Diamond. Some people aren't. Diamond isn't really releasing any information. I don't know if the PR people were the first to be furloughed or what. Marvel is keeping their mouth shut, although there are Marvel freelancers who've been told that on upcoming miniseries, they've been told to put their pencils down. Whereas if you're working on a regular book like the X-Men or Spider-Man, you're told, no, draw. This is our chance to get ahead. This is our chance to get ahead on deadlines. Over at DC, everybody's being told, keep working on it. You're still getting paid. That way, we're ahead on our deadlines. I think it's Boom has told everybody, stop working. Who knows what IDW is doing, because they're losing millions of dollars every month. There doesn't seem to be anyone stepping up anywhere to say, all right, this is what's happening. So I do know that today a bunch of governors got together and they're going to be releasing information on how to reopen the economy, because they're the ones who have the powers to. Here in Minnesota, we're being kept up to date fairly well by the governor on what's going on, which is why today they said, okay, he's keeping the emergency powers up until this date so that in case we need to keep the state shut down, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just a lot of not knowing. And as a comic fan, you know, it's hard for me. I can't imagine what it's like to own a comic business or any other, quote, non-essential business. I will say at the group home, they are literally planning and buying stuff and planning that the clients will not be able to leave the facility until October. So who knows what's going to happen. Other than that, there's really not much you can be kind of freaking about with comics because they haven't announced anything. They haven't canceled anything. They haven't changed anything. Uncle Ben has not come back from the dead. So, Joe, what are you geeking on?
Dead? I didn't even know he was sick.
He hasn't got the COVID-19. Come on. There's times.
I forget. Yeah, that's how they update the Spider-Man. I can't believe it. All right. One more.
Well, remember, the Marvel Universe is at 10 years old. So now we're at the point where, what is it? I think.
They push everything forward and ignore the past.
Yeah, so that Spider-Man 36 about the Twin Towers. Yeah, Peter Parker was 9 when that happened.
Yeah. They fought in the Gulf War, not the Vietnam War.
Well, I think now the Punisher, pretty soon he won't have even been able to fight in the Iraq War. He'll have to have been in Afghanistan.
He was in the great toilet paper war of Costco. All right, Tim, for the people who obviously can't spell like me, give me your eBay thing again.
S-P-I-D-R-E.
Aha. See, I put regular spider. I figured while Corey was talking, I'd look up, try to grab some of them eBay things. But I'll do that later.
R-E. Now
R-E. Very tricky. Just like crazy is a K. R-A-Y-Z. Geeking? Me? Geeking? Never. No, actually, my wife and I are going through the old Harry Potter movies. My daughter brought a stack of them in consisting of both her and her sister and my movies. And so some of them are in the pan and scan version, which I'm ready to just throw out. Ugh. Fortunately, everything's that I bought was wide scan. It's kind of interesting because they've gone from when the first Harry Potter movie came out and you got the big flip case and there's the movie plus some stuff on this, and then you get the second disc with special edition on it, to just a single plastic case. But when you open it, there's two in there. Again, the movie, the special DVD with all the fun stuff. And now as I got to Order of Phoenix, which I think is the it's the third to last book, fourth to last movie, because they split them in two. There's no special discs at all because that all went to the Blu-ray stuff, which kind of sucks. But, you know, I just want to watch the movie. So what's amazing is while I remember the main points, what happened, a lot of the details I don't remember. When we started watching Order of the Phoenix, my wife and I are like, I don't remember any of this. It went that way for about 20 minutes in the movie. So it's been kind of fun just to redo movies like that. Up next, I've got the Indiana Jones movies. We got all four of them. And of course, I'm still wading through the Marvel viewing order list of all the Marvel movies. The last one I talked about was Iron Man. I haven't gone through Iron Man 2 yet, but I'll get there. I'll get there. Speaking of getting there, a Kickstarter just fired up that I'm very interested in. Jim Starlin is returning. He's bringing Dreadstar back. And he's doing what do we got here? Through his own Ominous Press, a 100-page graphic novel with Jim Starlin and Jamie Jameson. And I haven't read through it. I did bid on it. They got two things going, the hardcover, and then there's a Dreadstar Universe hardcover.
and I bid on both that. I'm a little disappointed because I went and I bought the three big omnibus editions when they came out. I didn't get hide nor hair of this when it announced. So I missed out on some of the early, what would they call it, Corey? The early bidder thing. Some guys put that up.
Yeah.
Early birds.
Yeah. And then I realized he just posted the damn thing today and that's how fast it went. So it wasn't a big deal. I could have gotten like 10 bucks off, but, so if you're a Jim Starlin fan, you probably want to go check it out. They do a quick synopsis of what's going on in the return. It's all new, and I'm really looking forward to it. And you still got 26 days to go, 16 as of this podcast dropping. Is that right? I don't do math. I never do math in this thing. And it's already been fully funded, so you know it's going to be published. So I'm looking forward to that. Reading... I don't have a lot of things I was reading because I got the Marvel's 30th anniversary hardcover annotated edition, which I've been talking about for years since they started publishing Marvel's the annotated, and I just am absolutely loving it. First of all, it's been a long time since I've read Marvel's. I know I have the graphic novel somewhere. My guess is Dana has it over at her place. I don't have the original comics because I've been switching to graphic novels. And then, of course, what's fun about it are the annotations, as I think Jess Harold compiled them all. Just the different Easter eggs, who he modeled with, how many times the monkeys appear, how many times Lois and Clark appear, subtle things such as, Corey, do you remember J. Jonah Jameson appearing in the first issue?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't.
He wasn't named.
He was a little kid, right?
No, he was actually one of the publishers sitting, one of the reporters, young reporters sitting next to Phil as they were talking about wanting to get a piece of the action, either with the new Marvels appearing or the World War II. And the thing is, you notice him because he has kind of a flat top. He's smoking a cigar, does not have the Charlie Chaplin mustache. But if you're like me, you're going to look at him and go, that's J. Jonah Jameson. But, and he also makes a comment about, I'm going to run this Daily Bugle someday. But they don't name him because of what you said. He really couldn't have been around that time. But a lot of the characters, they don't actually name. They just kind of drop them in there. And it's up to us to decide, is it him or is it not? I mean, was that Lois and Clark in the background? Could be. Hey, that kid on the corner yelling, Wextra, Wextra, read all about Burning Man of Fire. Was that Billy Paxson? You decide. Is the Submariner totally naked? Well, you know, they don't really show his trunks. A lot of just fun little things like that. I haven't even gotten, I'm still wading through the synopsis. Or the book, you know, you sit there. I mean, I'm going to wear this sucker out. You read the book, and then you go to the Anointed, and then you go back and forth and back and forth. Was that guy who delivered the paper on the last page, Mr. Ketch? Was that Danny Ketch, the Ghost Rider? Could it have been? We don't know, but these are fun things. Well, you know, a lot of this stuff I got. Some of it I didn't notice, especially when you get details when, you know, Phil's got a bunch of pictures on his desks and things like that Danny Ketch thing I didn't catch at all. But then they also cover the first proposal of the Marvel Limited, the second proposal, the third proposal, and the sequel, which was never – they had a couple different sequels ready to go that they never really did. There's a – I believe it's a – what do they call it? The sketch, not the sketch, script, sorry, having trouble with my S words, and just a lot of the other bonuses and some of the Mad Magazine parodies and just what a fabulous book. I mean, and I bought it in hardcover. I'm glad I did. It's going right on the shelf with Weapon Brown, Watchmen, Kingdom Come, you know, just one of those books. I know I'm going to pull that sucker down every year and read it and reread it. Corey, do you think we're going to get preview to our previews next episode?
Damn right we will.
All right. Unless something happens. Who knows? That'll be next week. The following week, I'm just giving a heads up on this because I'm excited about this. I've had this Mythical sketchbook, and I believe, Corey, you've seen it, but I finally scanned all the pictures of it. It starts from around 1984, ends up about 1985, and just tons of sketches that I picked up, starting from before getting head sketches was cool. And then, of course, by the time I ended it, head sketches were almost like expected. If somebody handed an artist a book, you were expected to do a head sketch. And there are some really surprising things in there. Some of them Corey was with, some of you heard the story before, but we're going to do a podcast on it, maybe after the previews one. The reason I'm telling you this is because I have the sketches up for you to view. If you go to my personal Facebook page, which I have wide open, I don't block anybody, Crazy Joe Ryder, and look under the album My Sketchbook, you'll see everything. I haven't put up any notes on this. I spent most of the afternoon writing notes, you know, trying to remember the what happened behind the scenes, you know, just how did I get that Neil Gaiman autograph, things like that. And Corey and I are going to talk about it. Basically, it's going to be, I'll be talking about it. Hopefully, Corey catches some questions. And the few he's been at with me, we'll talk about. I don't know if we're going to get through all of it. There's about 115 photos in the album. But feel free to go take a look at it, because we're going to have our first ever interactive podcast. Because as we talk about it, you're gonna go flip right onto the picture, see what we're talking about. In the meantime, if you have any questions about it, go ahead, pop on the picture, and I have the comments there. And I believe I have the comments open for this, so you could leave the questions right there, or you know, email it through our Facebook page email, or leave a message on the 800 the phone number Corey put up, or email, whatever. You know, we're open. We want to hear from you. It's lonely. I've been trying to convince Corey to do a podcast today, but, you know, he's just too damn busy. Oh, well. Tim, what are you geeking out? What's got you happy in these times of what the hell is going on?
With no work and whatnot, I've actually had time to go through my personal collection and inventory, or work on inventorying them.
Now, I'll tell you, we used to have a joke about Tim when we were at our comic shops together, because they were back then. Now variant covers are pretty much orderable. But back then, if you got a special gold variant, it was because you usually ordered something. And of course, we were always, if Pat didn't want it or I didn't want it, we'd sell it. We always talk to Tim. Occasionally, there'd be times where both Pat and I would want it. We'd talk to Tim. Hey, Tim, did you get that gold book? And he'd go, hey, I put that in my own collection. So I really, really something love to just sit in Tim's room and look through all these books. Or better yet, have you tell us the story of how you got that Turok gold. Rumor still talks about that son of a scam the system. We sell ours, we get nothing. He bitches and gets a Turok gold. But that's not what I'm here to talk about.
Valerie the She-Bat.
Oh, God. I remember that. I bought Pat's copy and I ran across it and I was like, it's not as good as I thought it was. eBay.
Yep. Or the multiple covers of Gen 13.
Including the rare chrome one that you got with the set.
Yep. Or the 13 that were, everybody thought me and Dave were crazy for ordering that many Gen 13 back in the day. Not knowing that we knew that every book was going to be in every other one. The other stores did not have a clue on that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if you tipped us off. I know we were okay on it. Because I do remember we cracked open a few for people. And then I don't know if Pat kept the rare chrome one that came with the set. Did I get you the Brady Bunch one, Corey?
Yes.
Okay, that's how we got that for you. And again, what I had has been eBayed, so don't ask. But you could ask Tim.
Nope, they're mine.
Nope, mine.
No, but what we're going to do once I get done inventorying them all and I have a final tally, we're going to have a contest on our Facebook page and in the store. $25 gift card for the person who guesses closest to my comic collection count. If you actually get the actual number, it's going to be a $50 gift card.
What? How many do you think that'll be?
A bunch. There's almost 190 long boxes. So yeah, I will post a video of the box, the comic room with the rooms with the comic boxes in there, and let people know how many boxes, and they'll have to do some calculations and figuring how many are in a box and how many are how many I have. See, even Dave is interested in knowing that final number.
Did Dave ever? Did he always snab on the variant covers like you, or was he not into that?
A little bit. He was early on, and he realized money was more important than, hey, I can sell those. I can make money off of selling that. I don't need to keep that. I can sell that. Then Tim owes me for his, and I can sell mine.
I will say, though, and we pimped this when it came out, if you're looking for that Walking Dead number one, Granite City has an exclusive variant cover you can still get by going to the eBay shop. I actually ran across mine the other day. I'm like, do I want to eBay this? No, I keep this one. This has memories with it.
Yeah, or our web store has also got them. Yeah, that's what I've been. How about you, Corey?
I have been working a lot.
Shocked, I tell you.
And, one good thing about it is I'm going to be back on sleeping overnights. Hey, getting paid to sleep? I'm loving that. I'm good at sleeping. I can't screw that up very much. Well, and even if I stay awake, I'm still getting paid, even though I'm just laying there going, I should be reading something on my Kindle. Reading-wise, I finally was able to sit down and read the entire run up to issue 14 of Marvel's Conan series. Ooh, it's good stuff. I was worried after the Jason Aaron story ended that it would take a drop in quality, but Jim Zub, who I've only read bits and pieces of his work in the past, really has a good grasp of the character. And after reading issue 14, it's like, comics need to come back. I want to read the rest of this. I got caught up on Dan Slott's Fantastic Four. I read the retcon of the Fantastic Four's origin, and I have to admit, I liked it. I like the fact that they removed a couple of things from the early issues of the Fantastic Four that I didn't much care for. And it's one of those things where they've added something to the origin rather than changed it. And so I really like what they've done with that. If you, Joe, you read Vault Comics, right?
Yes.
They have put out a free coloring book. And they will be giving away comic prizes for people who do the best job of coloring their... It's basically each page is a promo page for one of the series that they publish. And it's a free PDF. You can download it, print it yourself, color it, upload it to Twitter or Facebook and tag them. And they'll give you... There are prizes! Prizes, I tell you. And they say they're going to be doing another one. There are also tons of free comics. Sorry, Tim. Online. Marvel Unlimited has unlocked a bunch of stuff for people to read for free. Also, Humble Bundle. If you go to humblebundle.com, they're having a Jonathan Hickman bundle, which is a bunch of his stuff that he did for Image. And you can buy it digitally for very low prices, and all of the money goes to charity. So Humble Bundle is one of those pages that I really like. Mostly they're video games, and all the money goes to charity. But they have books and comics and stuff from time to time. And they're putting out a big old bundle of Jonathan Hickman. And if you listen to this podcast, you know we love us some Jonathan Hickman.
Oh, yeah.
If you are a WWE fan and you have the network, yes, I know WrestleMania was weird and strange and hard to watch, but there is a new documentary series that I like a lot better than I thought I would, and that is The Ruthless Aggression, and it basically is a documentary about what happened after the Attitude Era. It's pretty honest about why the Attitude Era ended, that they had just kind of run out of ideas. And if you saw the Katie Vick skits, you know that's true. Joe, do you even remember Katie Vick?
I will get you for the re-bringing that memory up. The only plus I can add is that at the time they brought her in, I believe was right after Eddie passed away.
Yes.
So I thought that was a very kind of WWE to bring her in and obviously help provide for the family in a tough time.
Katie Vick was a storyline in which we found out that Kane had in high school dated a cheerleader.
Oh my God. What the hell was I thinking of?
Vicky, I don't know.
Guerrera. I was thinking of Vicky Guerrera.
No, Katie Vick was, we find out that in high school, Kane was dating a cheerleader and there was a car wreck and she died. And Triple H did a video where he dressed up like Kane, went to the funeral and jumped into the coffin to copulate with the corpse.
Necrophilia makes you live.
And if you're a fan of WrestleCrap, head on over because the Katie Vick storyline won the worst wrestling story of all time.
And that's saying something with the gobbledygooker and the big boss man pulling the Big Show's father in a coffin.
Well, they actually bought the Katie Vick cheerleader costume and have Katie Vick show up at their appearances. So, Ruthless Aggression, they did the documentary on John Cena, although it's not entirely 100% true, is still really good about where John Cena came from, how he got into the WWE, the missteps they had with him along the way. One thing I'll say about the WWE, when their documentary crews are fantastic. And this is a really good look back at, you know, what was going on in front of the camera and behind the camera as they transitioned out of the Attitude Era into what's now known as the PG Era. I am also getting, every so often I will pick up a couple more of the Marvel Epic collections. Because, yes, I like me my essentials. But there are some times when they put those epic collections, which are about the same size, but they're in color on better paper. They put them on sale pretty cheap, and I tend to pick them up if I see them on sale. I'm not going to pay $40 for them, but I'll pay $20 for them when I see them because, you know, it's a nice big chunk of stuff, all in order. And I've been looking forward to some of the omnibuses that are supposed to be coming out. And this coming weekend, Monday, the Saturday and Sunday before, I actually head off at the group home. They actually have enough people who can work on weekends and during the day because a lot of people have second jobs, but their second jobs are shut down. So they're picking up weekends and day shifts. So I'm still working evenings and nobody wants to do the overnight. So I raise my hand. Hey, you pay me to sleep. I am so good at sleeping. Other than that, that's about all I am geeking on. Hopefully I will have more stuff to geek on after I get a weekend of not working. Believe it or not, kids, you have listened to us blather on about comic books for an hour and a half.
What else are you going to do?
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Tim, go ahead, drop your website, your phone number, all the good stuff so people out there can get a hold of you.
It's GraniteCityComics.com is our web store. It's SPIDRE64 is eBay. Our address is 514 West St. Germain up in St. Cloud, Minnesota. 320-259-5830 is the number. I'll gladly mail stuff out or do curbside pickup. we'll figure out how to get you guys your books. Just give us a call.
Very cool. Very cool. And you know, Corey, we've been talking. We started right after supper. Did you know I just grilled a chicken? But it still wouldn't tell me why it crossed the road.
Oh, God.
Hit my music.
Done, bitches!